This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد, we are on the day two of our session on the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make this full of khair and barakah for all of us, inshallah. I want to mention two very famous incidents of the seerah to illustrate why it is so important for us to learn and study the seerah. The first incident, which I'm sure all of you have heard about, is the incident where one day Rasulullah ﷺ came home and our mother, Ummuna Sayyidatuna Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha, she said to him, "Ya Rasulullah, somebody sent a sheep, so I had it slaughtered and I gave away all the meat and I only saved the shoulder for you," because this is what Rasulullah preferred. He used to like to eat the shoulder joint. So that was his preferred thing. So she said, "I gave it all away and I saved the shoulder for you." He said, "Aisha, all that you gave away has been saved. The only thing not saved is the shoulder." It's not that it is haram to, save something and keep it. But he is talking about the meaning of the word saved. Right? So he's saying everything was given away. Only thing saved was this. And he said, "No, everything was saved. The only thing not saved is this." Because what is saved? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "Al-baqiyatu salihat." What remains are the good deeds, the things that we send ahead of us. وَمَا تُقَدِّمُوا لِأَنفُسِكُم مِّن خَيْرٍ تَجِدُوهُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ هُوَ خَيْرًا وَعَظَمَ أَجْرًا. Allah said that whatever good you do and send before you, you will find it with Allah, and in a better state than what you did, meaning Allah will reward you for it. So the deed you did, Allah's reward. The whole idea of this seerah session or whatever it is, or similar things, the whole idea of this deen is to understand this one reality, which is that this life is, the purpose of this life is to transfer our assets. I call it an asset transfer period. People living in America don't understand this, because you come here, you settle here, and then you get your relatives back from your home countries to come and also settle here. Right? So you get your parents, your children, and so on, and then the extended family. But people who live in the Middle East, they will understand this very well, because the Middle Eastern countries do not give you citizenship. You can live there for 100 years, they will not give you citizenship. And you have to go back. Someday you have to go back. Second thing is, children above a certain age, you can't keep them. So for their college education, so on, they have to leave. So people who live in the Middle East, no matter, I mean for immigrants, no matter how senior you are or junior you are, or how much money you make, or what kind of job you have, makes no difference. You still have to go back home one day. So people who live in the Middle East, they live with this sense of, "I have to leave this place." Everybody. And the proof of that is that they send money. They live in circumstances which are much less than what they can afford. And they save the money and they send the money back home to Pakistan, India, Egypt, Sudan, Somalia, wherever they come from. They send the money back, what they call home. So now, just do a mental calculation. Somebody goes after the school or college, is how old is that person? Maybe 24, 25, right? Not older than that. So say this person at age 25 goes to the Middle East. He goes to Saudi Arabia, he goes to the UAE somewhere. And he works there for 30 years, which is the usual work lifespan. So 25 years old he went, worked for 30 years. Now he is how old? 55, right? Let us say he gets another 10 years of extension, which most of them get. If they have got good health, they will keep them because the locals don't want to do the jobs anyway. So now he is 65. Let us say somehow this way or that way, contract, job or whatnot, he spends for another 10 years, which they all try to do. So now he is 75. So now for the last 50 years, from the time he was 25 to the time he is 75, which is 50 years, he has been sending money back home. So back home, he goes once in a year. He goes for a month on his vacation. He comes back. When he goes there, there's, you know, at least in Hyderabad, we know, the big dawat and all that, make some nice biryani. And children are growing up on this money which the father is sending. The wife is living a good lifestyle. They're building their home. So you have this nice big, you know, depending on how much money, nice big palatial home. Or, it's definitely a nice big house. So now think about this. This person comes back home to wherever he came from, whether it is Hyderabad or Kerala or wherever, at the age of 75. How much longer will he live in the world? Will he live for another 75 years? Not likely. So even if he lives for 25 years, he's still 100 years old. How many people live to be 100? Nobody. Very, very few. So let us say he lives for another 5 years, he is now 80, he lives for 10 years, he is 85, usually around that time he will die. So he saved for 50 years and he sent money back home for 50 years in order to, and I use the word enjoy very hesitantly, because usually at the age of 75, when you go back home, you have arthritis, you've got some kind of heart disease or the other. You probably have had diabetes for a while. You have all kinds of interesting things happening to you. And you are usually a good case study for some hospital. But other than that, there is not much enjoyment in that. But we do that because we consider that to be home. We don't even do the mental. If somebody tells you, some of my friends in the Middle East, I tell them, I said, don't waste your time. Live well. You will go back, doesn't matter, but you are going to live here for 50 years. Live well. Get a nice villa, get servants, live a nice lifestyle, have, you know. My children, give them a good education, let them leave them on their own. Just feeding them from here only destroys them, nothing else. We have seen this happen multiple times. They won't go to school, they won't go to college because free money, dad is sending the money. When the father retires and comes home, the father thinks, oh, family will be so happy to see me. They are not happy at all. They are very unhappy because now the money stopped. And now you've got the old man who doesn't know what to do with himself. He's sitting in the house and he's going to now point fingers. Where are you going? When will you come back? Why did you wear this? Why not wear that? All this will happen because he's home and he's jobless. So what will he do? Liability, yeah? I'm not saying everybody is like that, but this happens in a lot of places. Now the point is, leave all that aside, the point is, at the end of that, after saving all this, so-called saving, you have no time to enjoy it. Whereas Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, save it with me, and how long will we enjoy it? Forever. And that is true enjoyment because there is no arthritis in Jannah. There is no diabetes in Jannah, there is no heart disease in Jannah. True enjoyment. You did not save the money in order to pay hospital bills, which is what happens to a lot of people. You save the money to pay hospital bills. Real saving. Transfer of assets. So when you give something in so-called charity, remember, I think I mentioned it yesterday also. If you give money in so-called charity, remember, it's not charity, you're investing it with Allah. You're not giving it to anybody. You are investing it with Allah. Because you are giving it to the one who does not need anything. Who is Sabant? So what will you give to Allah? That's why I don't like this word sacrifice. میں لوگ کہتے ہیں اردو میں بھائی دین کے لیے قربانی کیجیے. میں نے کہا قربانی کیسے کر سکتے ہیں؟ میرے حساب سے قربانی ہو ہی نہیں سکتی, نہ ممکن ہے. یعنی آئی ٹرانسلیٹ آل دس انگلش, ڈونٹ وری. کیوں ناممکن ہے؟ قربانی کی تعریف بتائیے. قربانی کس کو کہتے ہیں؟ قربانی اس کو کہتے ہیں کہ جس جو آپ نے خرچ کیا اور آپ کو اس کا معاوضہ نہیں ملا تو قربانی ہوئی, ہے کہ نہیں؟ اگر میں نے اپنی گاڑی بیچی, میں نے کہا میں نے اپنی گاڑی قربان کر دی, تھا قربان کیسے کی؟ آپ نے گاڑی بیچی بھائی, آپ نے گاڑی بیچا, اس کو آپ کو اس کی قیمت ملی, قربانی کہاں سے ہوئی؟ تو قربانی تو جب ہوگی جب آپ نے اس کو دے دیا, اس کو کچھ ملا نہیں. تو میں کہتا ہوں حقیقتاً قربانی تو وہ مرغی کرتی ہے جس کو تندوری چکن کہتے ہیں, جو آپ کے لیے اپنی جان اس نے گنوائی اور آپ پہ کھا رکھا
ہے. یا نہیں ٹیسلا کے اسٹاکس خرید کے قربانی دے,
ٹیسلا کے خواہ بالکل ٹیسلا کے اسٹاکس خرید کے آپ نے کہا میں نے خوب اتنے پیسے میں نے قربان کر دیے ایلان مسک کو میں نے دیا. نہیں دیا, آپ نے انویسٹ کیا ہے. اس کی دلیل کیا ہے؟ اللہ سبحانہ وتعالیٰ نے کہا من جاء بالحسنتی فلہ عشر امثالیہ. اللہ نے کہا جو میرے پاس ایک نیکی لے کے آئے گا میں اسے اس جیسے دس دوں گا. پیپل یوز دس ورڈ سیکریفائس, سیکریفائس فار دی سیک آف اسلام. آئی سے سیکریفائس از امپاسبل, ایون اف یو وانٹ ٹو سیکریفائس یو کین ناٹ سیکریفائس, بیکاز سیکریفائس مینس ٹو ڈو سم تھنگ فار وچ یو گیٹ نو ریٹرن. If you get any return, it's not a sacrifice because you got some return. Whether you made profit or not, doesn't matter. You got, if I sell this bottle of water for, this bottle maybe cost me $1, I sell it for 50 cents, it is still not sacrifice because I got 50 cents. But with the deen, people say sacrifice for the sake of Islam. How will you sacrifice? You cannot. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, the one who brings man ja'a bil hasanati, the one who comes to me with one hasana, فَلَهُ to him أَشْرُ أَمْثَالِهَا 10 like that. So 1:10 is what? Ratio. 1000%. 1:1 is 100%. 1:10 is 1000%. So, and that is the minimum that Allah will give. Absolute Allah cannot give less than this. Allah does not give less than this. Minimum is 10 times. So if a person is getting 10 times what he spent, how is it a sacrifice? How do you call it a sacrifice? There is a beautiful hadith in Muslim and Bukhari and Muslim, Sahih hadith. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the last man to come out of Jahannam, last person to come out of Jahannam. So this is a person who did not escape Jahannam. This is a person who was sent to Jahannam. But he had iman. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala eventually, whatever time period that was, we don't know, he came on. So now he is out of Jahannam. He is crossed the Sirat. He is sitting there. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala causes a tree to grow at a distance from him. Very beautiful tree, very shady. He gets a beautiful breeze from the tree. So the man says, Ya Rabbi, O my Rabb, please put me under that tree. My dua for you, my, I make a small dua. And he says, Ya Rabb, I'm asking you, I will never ask for anything again. Please put me under this tree. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts him under the tree. Now he's sitting under the tree, alhamdulillah. He's thinking, I have not seen. He's just been in Jahannam and don't know how long, so he's forgotten everything. I have never seen shade like this before. This is so beautiful. So after some time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala causes another tree to grow. At a distance, he sees. So he sees this tree. Now he looks at the tree. Oh my God, that tree is much better than this one. You know, the insan is never satisfied. He's always looking at the neighbor. Huh? Grass is always greener on the other side of the fence. So he says, Ya Rabbi, O my Rabb, Please send me under that tree and I will never ask you for anything again. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, you just said you won't ask, I will ask you. Ya Allah, ya Allah, ya Allah. I won't ask any, now I never again. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, okay, go. He goes under the second tree, oh, subhanAllah. Even better than the other trees, aromatic and so on, beautiful smell. So after some time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala causes the third tree to grow. And that's even more beautiful, even bigger tree. And the land makes that Arabi. Allah, please that tree. Please send me under the tree. I will never ask you again. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, what kind of man are you? You asked me already said so many times. He's okay, go. So then he goes in. He's under this tree now. He's absolutely fantastic, you know, like an air-conditioned environment, beautiful. And then he sees a door. He sees a big door in the distance. And there is a lovely breeze coming from this door and a very, you know, beautiful perfume. He says, Allah, what is that door? Allah says, that is the door to Jannah. That is the door to Jannah. So now the man does not make any dua. He doesn't ask anything. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, what happened to you? He says, Ya Allah, I want to ask you to let me see, just look inside the Jannah. But I'm thinking there is no place, there cannot be any place in this Jannah. I'm the last one out. Everybody is already in the Jannah. So how can there be place for me? So Allah says, no, go there, go and see. So the man goes there out of the door. Now he's looking inside Jannah. Imagine, wallah, wallah, what he sees, this is Jannah. So he's seeing gardens and rivers and Allah knows best, you know, palaces of pearls and God. He looks inside, says, oh Allah, Kareem, subhanAllah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, so what? He says, Allah, this is there, but I don't even know how to ask you, what to ask. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, how about I give you this Jannah, which is the size of your world that you came from, and one more, and one more, and one more, and one more. So that means five, right? Five times the size of this world. How about if I give this to you? Yours. Muhammad says, Ya Allah, what can I say? He's the last man out of Jannah. Ya Allah, what can I say? Allah says, go, and I will give you 10 times that. And the Muhaddithin have said, he's saying 10 times of what? 10 times of the 5 times that Allah already promised him. So 50 times of what he left in this world. And this is not what he left, doesn't mean his house in Janchalguda. It means his, this entire world and all that it contained from the day it was created till the last day. 50 times that for the last man of Jannah. And that is why Rasulullah said, when you make dua, ask Allah for Jannatul Firdaus. Not any, never make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and say Allah only this much. No. Allah is Allah. Jannatul Firdaus. Somebody asked one of the Tabi'in, I think it was, I can't remember the name, but he asked him, please tell me something about Jannah. Please describe Jannah. Please describe Jannah. He described Jannah in one word. He said, Fiha Muhammadur Rasulullah. Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He said, describe Jannah. He said, in Jannah is Rasulullah. Because what is Jannah if there is no Rasulullah in it? And if Rasulullah is in Jannah, what does it matter whether there is a garden or a river or no river? Allah will give both. Jannatin tajri min tahti al-anhar khalidina fiha abada. So when Sayyidah Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha, you know, when she told Rasulullah and he responded, and he said the only thing which is saved, which is left, is the meat that you gave away. And what is not saved is the shoulder that you kept. It reinforces for us the fact that real wealth, real saving, real retirement planning is to save it with Allah. Transfer of assets, which is the second story I want to tell you. Al-Walid bin Abdul Malik bin Marwan, he was the Khalifa after Umar bin Abdul Aziz, rahmatullahi alayh. Khalifa of Banu Umayyah after Sayyidina Umar bin Abdul Aziz. So, and he was not like Umar bin Abdul Aziz, to put it, briefly. So he came to Makkah for Umrah, and after he finished Umrah, he asked the people, is there anyone among the Tabi'in who is still alive, who is in Makkah? They said, yes. He said, take me to him. He went to meet this Tabi'i. And he asked him, he said, please give me some advice, nasiha. He said, my problem is, he said, I am afraid of death. I fear to die. What shall I do? So this Tabi'i said to him, you fear to die because all your palaces are here. There is nothing. That's why you're afraid. He said, what shall I do? He said, build palaces there. Take care of your akhirah. Make sure you got a house here, beautiful house, palace, whatnot. Alhamdulillah, good. But what about the place where you are going to live forever? This place you will live for 50, 60, 70, whatever Allah has given you age. But there, you are going to live forever. So what about the house there? There was in the time of Harun Rashid, the Abbasid Khalifa, there was a man called Bahlul. So in Urdu we call him Bahlul Dana. Dana means Zaki, somebody who is very intelligent and very wise. But Bahlul used to pretend to be Majzub, like a madman. Like his clothes would be torn, whatnot, he'd have a stick in his hand, walk around. He looked like a madman. But he was a friend with the Khalifa, with Harun Rashid. Harun Rashid, in his court, he was allowed anywhere and all that. So one day Bahlul was with Harun Rashid. Harun Rashid said to him, yeah, Bahlul, is there anyone in my kingdom who is a bigger fool than you? So he said to him, I don't know. I've never met anybody who is a bigger fool than me. I think I'm the biggest fool. So Harun Rashid, he had a walking stick or something there with him. He picked it up, he gave it to him, and he said, take this with you. And when you find somebody who is a bigger fool than you, give this to him. He said, okay. So Bahlul took the stick. He went away, many years passed. And then one day Bahlul, wherever he was, he heard that Harun Rashid is very, very sick, he's dying. So Bahlul came to make dua for him and to meet his friend. So he came and sat down next to the Khalifa. And Harun Rashid saw him, he was very happy. He said to him, Bahlul, I am going on a journey. I'm going away. So Bahlul says, Amir al-Mu'minin, then when will you be back? So Harun Rashid said, Bahlul, you are a fool. This journey you don't return. You don't come back from the journey. So Bahlul says, oh, is that right? So he says, then what about your palace there? Have you built a palace there or have you sent? Bahlul says, yeah. He says, Bahlul, there's no palace there. I have nothing there. So he says, okay, but are you taking your wives and your children, and are you taking your troops and your army and your slaves? And how rich is it? Bahlul, you are a big fool. I mean, there is nothing. I can't take everybody. Nobody can go. I have to go alone. Nobody can go with me. I have to go alone. So Khalil says, okay. So what about your money? Your money, gold, you know, you are the Khalifatul Muslimin. You are the Khalifa of one of us. So I'm sure you are taking all this gold and stuff with you. Harun Rashid said, Bahlul, you are really a fool. Eh? I cannot take anything with me, Bahlul. So Bahlul said, that means you are going on this journey. You are going alone. You have nothing there. You are not coming back. He said, yes. So Bahlul said, this is the stick for you. He said, today I found a fool bigger than I am. Please take this stick. Eh? He's saying that to the Khalifa. He says, you are a bigger fool than me. You're going on this journey, you know all this. You did not prepare for this. That is the reason why we need the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Jalla Jalaluhu, sent us into this world for the purpose of returning to Him. This world is a journey, this world is a transit place. Our destination is where we came from. We came from Jannah because Adam alayhi salam and Hawa alayhi salam, our mother and father, came from Jannah. That is our home. They were sent into this world for a short time. They were sent with the key. Like you get a guest, you say, here is the key to the house. Whenever you come, anytime, you can get into the house. No? We do this to our guests. Allah gave them the key. Come back home. Go stay there for a while. Do what I tell you to do. After that, come back home. How do we get back home? Ya Allah, what is the key? Rabbana zalamna anfusana. Wa illam taghfir lana wa tarhamna lanakunanna min al-khasirin. This is the key to Jannah. Make istighfar and tawbah. Make istighfar and tawbah. Seek for forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Anytime you make a mistake, you say, Ya Allah, I'm sorry, please forgive me. Call me back. Key to Jannah. Allah sent them, gave them a key to Jannah to come back. That is who we are. We are people here in transit and we have the key to Jannah to reach Jannah. We are not here to stay. We are here. So that is the reason why it's so important to make sure that we transfer all our assets. Send it all back to where we are supposed to go. So the seerah is, therefore this life is a journey. This life is an exam. So imagine that you are sitting in the, we have all been through this because we all went to school and college. So the time for examinations, you are sitting in an examination hall and you are writing your exam. In worldly exams, usually there is no book of reference. If somebody helps you, it's called cheating. If the examiner helps you, he'll get sacked. You're on your own. And then when you submit your paper, you pass or fail. If you pass, good for you. If you fail, then you are in trouble. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in His infinite mercy, also sent us into this world, this whole life, from the time we are born to the time we die. Actually, not from the time we are born, but from the time we attain puberty until the time we retain our senses. And may Allah give us, keep all our senses intact to the end and give us a khatima bil khair, inshallah. So that period is the period of the test. But unlike this worldly test, in this test of this life, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us the answer book and also gave us a helper to pick the right answers. What is the name of the answer book? Al-Quran, Al-Kareem. All the questions in the test, the answers are in the book. Not only that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent a teacher, sent a mu'allim, sent the examiner, sent the helper who is standing right here next to you and he is telling you, pick this answer. keeping this answer. Test question comes. I want to build a house. And I am living in America, so my advisor, my financial advisor, my tax advisor, my this one, that one, is telling me, get a mortgage, you can deduct it on your tax, and so on and so forth. What will I do? That is the question. I look in the answer book. The answer book says, if you deal in riba, if you deal in interest-based dealings, not only will Allah be displeased with you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala declares war on you on his behalf and on behalf of the Rasul alayhi salatu wassalam. So obviously, interest-based dealings. We want to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala where we want Allah to forgive us. We want to meet Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa where we want Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa to make shafa'at for us. We don't want to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as our enemy. What do you call somebody you are at war with? Enemy. But Shaitan says, no, 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 listen. This is 1400 years old. This book came then. In 7th century Arabia, we are now living in America. In 21st century, read the book for sawab, alhamdulillah. But as far as your life in this world and so on is concerned, Allah has given you intelligence, Allah has given you education. Use that. And Shaitan does not even allow us to think. If you really have intelligence, you must say, if I have intelligence, you are telling me I am intelligent. If I really have intelligence, then I really believe that this is the word of Allah, then what will I choose? See, if I have intelligence and I am looking at the Quran and saying, this is the word of Allah, this is my iman, and I choose something other than that, then do I have intelligence or I don't have intelligence? What intelligence is that? This is the word of Allah. Or maybe I do not believe that this is the word of Allah. Then it's possible. Yeah, okay, somebody wrote the Quran. I don't know who wrote the Quran. Then you are not a Muslim anymore, because if you say that this is not the word of Allah, you have exited Islam. Simple as that. So now when all of this is going on in my mind, I have Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam standing next to me and he's saying, oh, forget the shaitan. Pick this answer. The answer is, I will not take an interest-based mortgage. If there is a way of getting a loan without interest, alhamdulillah. Otherwise, I will live in a rented house all my life and I will die in a rented house, alhamdulillah. Makes no difference. To my akhirah, it makes no difference whether I owned my house or I did not own my house. This is not one of the questions on the day of judgment. This is not one of the questions in the grave. So why must I destroy my akhirah for this? But what do we do? Many people, the open book is there, the answer is there. You have the Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam telling you, figuratively speaking, pick this answer, this is the correct answer. But we say, no, no, no. Thank you very much. But in my opinion, some other answer. This whole life is very simple. If you really look at it, there's no complication. It's very simple. If you have a doubt, don't do it. If you do not have a doubt, you are sure it is true, which means it is according to the Quran and the Sunnah, do it. If you are sure it is not according to the Quran and Sunnah, if it goes against the Quran and Sunnah, don't touch it. If there is a doubt, is it or is it not, don't touch it until you clarify the doubt. That's it. Very simple. So ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us to follow the right path and not get misguided and misled by shaitan. And the surest way of knowing that we are on the right path is to follow the path of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is called the seerah. After all, this is a dua we are making in every rakat, in every salah, in Surah Al-Fatiha, which is a rukun of the salah. We say what? Ihdinas Sirat al-Mustaqim. Ma huwa Sirat al-Mustaqim? Sirat al-Ladina an'amta alayhim. Ghayri al-Maghdubi alayhim wal-Dhalin. Say, oh Allah, give me, guide me to the straight path, guide me to the path of steadfastness, the path of those whom you blessed. An'amta alayhim. Jin pe aapna, aapka inam hua. Those you blessed. Who is the first one? First among the blessed? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sayyidul Mursaleen. Imamul Anbiya. Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The best of the blessed. Follow him. That's it. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us to follow the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and to stay away from everything which goes against that, inshallah. وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك.